chapter number 100. Brother Howell, you had no idea when you were giving that testimony a minute ago what I'm going to preach. You had no idea. But while you were giving it, I said to myself, my, how many times have I seen this? The Almighty confirms what He once preached. Psalm 100 and verse number 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Father, bless Your holy word now, and anoint this messenger. In Thy name I pray, amen. You can be seated. This, of course, is one of the most beautiful scriptures in all the Bible. Fact of the matter is, when I was in the public school system, back when I was in grammar school, we learned this scripture. What a horrible thing for the school to teach you something like that, don't you think? But nobody was killing us. Nobody was shooting at us back then either. A lot of things have changed since then, don't you think? Don't think for the better. But Psalm 100 and verse number 4 says, with thanksgiving that we enter into His gates. There's a lot of things that can determine a man's character and show you how he's made and what he's made of. They say you don't know someone till you're married to them or you work with them. And that's probably very true. You see, a man's character, man or woman, their character is an indication of what they really are. It's not what they project themselves to be, but what they really are. And the Bible raises thanksgiving to the highest level that I know of in the Scripture. For the first thing that God condemns this generation, this jaded, narcissistic, self-indulged generation, is unthankful and unholy. But the Bible teaches us things by contrast. Look at the book of Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 21. Now here's a contrast. Note carefully. But that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. See how God puts this in the scripture? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You live in a dark country, a dark culture. Make no mistake about that. Don't ever kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. You live in a jaded, dark culture. The light of the gospel of Christ, thank God, is still here. His church is still here. The salt of the earth is still here. The light of the world is still here. Till He calls us out of this place, and He will. The Bible teaches us lessons by contrast. For example, Cain and Abel. Cain was a murderer. Abel, my dear friend, was murdered by his brother. His name, by the way, means transitory. He was only here long enough to give us the witness and testimony of what a true sacrifice and offering to God was, because Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock. There's the contrast of Abraham and Lot, for example. Abraham, my dear friend, waited till God showed him the land that He wanted him to take. Lot chose by his eyes. He followed his own human wisdom and ability to choose what he wanted. Lot lost everything that he had, and God increased and continued to increase Abraham. A lesson of contrast, and the Bible, of course, is full of them. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29 and verse number 34, here's a wonderful statement in Scripture. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse number 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. And as many as, now watch this carefully, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. The free heart. You see, you can't make a man thankful. You can't do that. You can scream at him, yell at him, and you can do everything. You know, you can put a wrestling hold on him and make him cry uncle, but you'll still not make him thankful. Thankfulness arises from the heart when that heart begins to yearn for God and is moved under the hand of the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, the scripture says this, Matthew 26 and verse number 26. Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He was thanking God for the sacrifice of his own body. He was giving thanks to God for the whipping. He was giving thanks to God for the cross. He was giving thanks to God for the humiliation. And then finally, he was giving thanks to God for the horror that he endured. And you have to go to Hebrews chapter number 5 and get on your knees and ask God to show you what that horror truly was. Had nothing to do with him dying on the cross. It had to do with falling under the wrath of Almighty God. If you realize this morning what God Almighty allowed to happen and then what he did for it, you begin to get an understanding of his character. He allowed sin to come into the world. He allowed sin to raise its ugly head in humanity. But then he took in himself the condemnation and the judgment of sin to show you the true character and heart of God. Amen. Amen. Do you know what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying. I trust in him because I know him. I trust him because I know him. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I come into him against that day. So we don't serve some idol. We don't serve some totem pole, some rock carved out of something lifeless and dead. And the only thing it could ever be is what you imagine it to be. I serve the true and living God. Amen. And he has a personality. That personality comes through. In the book of Luke chapter 10 verse number 21, the word of God says this. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 21. The scripture says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Have you heard that before? That the Lord Jesus Christ thanked God the Father for hiding something from men? He made it inaccessible to them through their intellect and through their science and through all that they might receive praise and glory and strut their stuff and say, "I prove this," and so forth and so on. No, God says you'll never know him. You'll never find him like that. He's got to reveal himself. And the children have the soft heart. They've got that believing heart. They, as you might say, as a jaded American might say, they're gullible because they just take at face value what the Bible says about God. They just believe it. And this is what he said here. He said, "I thank you, God, you hid it from the rest of them. You hid it from that crowd that thinks that they can, through intellect and through this and through that, that they can lead you to God. You can't lead anybody to God except by the power of the Holy Spirit of God." But the Lord thanked them for it. He thanked them for hiding. In the book of Luke chapter 17 and verse number 12. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 12. "And it came to pass, they went through Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So he entered into a certain village, there met with him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, half-breed Jew, hated and despised by the Pharisee of the temple in Jerusalem." A Pharisee. And they hated the Samaritan. This is why one of the things they threw at Christ, the Pharisee said, "Said we not that thou wert a Samaritan?" They accused him of being a Samaritan. "Demon possessed," they said. "Illegitimate, brought into this world. Everything you do by the power of Beelzebub." That's what they said of him. And the Bible says, "And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." And Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? But where the 9? Where the 9? You know why you don't praise God for salvation? Because you've never been saved. Let's just cut to the chase. Do you know why you don't glorify God and fall down on your knees and say, thank you, I was in hell and you brought me out. I was a drug addict and you set me free. I was an adulterer and you saved my soul. You saved my marriage. Amen. Amen. No, 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 no. I've learned the key to sow the seed and reap the harvest and live in prosperity. Isn't that what it's all about? No, that's not what it's about. That's what this jaded, godless religion in this country's about. It's about your soul, dear friend. What would you gain? What profiteth you to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What good would it do you? So he said to this one that had leprosy, skin was falling off. He stunk. He was literally rotting away. Couldn't go around his family. He couldn't walk down the streets of Jerusalem. He had to hide in the dark and in the peripheral of the community. And if anybody got close, he had to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. But he, the Samaritan, was thankful for what God had done for him. And he came back and he gave thanks for it. You see, my dear friend, this healing touched something in the Samaritan it did not touch in the 9 other. They were not moved spiritually for what God had done for them. We get jaded, folks. We get jaded. We get jaded. We get jaded. The Samaritans, the Syrophoenicians, the Roman centurions, the Greeks, the woman at the well, all of these people responded in a positive way to the Lord God Almighty. How many of you ever heard of the fog of war? You're hearing that term now when these Russians are attacking the Ukrainians. The fog of war. You can't judge the whole war by some isolated case. And you can't take an isolated case and say, this generally is what's happening. Or something happens and there's no explanation for it. It looks like a mistake. The fog of war. Let me tell you something. There is a fog of religion in this country. Amen. Religion blinds the minds to the truth of Christ. Amen. Somebody prayed over you when you were in Sunday school one time. Now you're okay for the rest of your life. You fornicate, you steal, you drink, you blaspheme, you cut, you live like hell itself. And yet, when I know I'm a Christian, I haven't always lived right. But I know that I know the Lord. No, you don't know the Lord. You just think you know the Lord. Well, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. Has he ever chastened you? Those I love, I chasten. Scourge every son I receive. It's not my place to chasten you. That's not my job. But he will chasten you. And he'll bring you back like the prodigal when he was feeding husk to the swine. And he said to himself, oh, my servants are in better shape. What am I doing here? And God moved upon his soul and he came back and the Father met him. And he killed the fatted calf for him and put a ring on his finger. And welcomed him back into his home. That's where you need to be this morning. You need to come back to him right now. You need to come and get on your knees and say, Lord, I've been living a lie. I've been running from one hell hole to another. I need to be saved or I need to get right with God. One or the other needs to be done. Thanksgiving, thankfulness, a thankful heart is an indication of the true character. For it shows what's going through your mind and it shows you what kind of spirit you have. It was told about an old man that had a bucket full of shrimp. And every evening he would walk out to the end of the pier. The old man's name was Ed. And he'd take that bucket of shrimp and reach in and take a handful of it. And he'd throw it up into the air. Throw it up into the air. And the seagulls would come diving down. And they'd grab that shrimp. He did this until he emptied the bucket. Then the next day, do the same. The old man would take the bucket full of shrimp and he'd carry it out to the pier and he'd throw another piece up and a handful and the seagulls would dive in and get it, and then when he was finished, they'd fly away. Somebody asked him one time, now, why do you do this? Why do you walk out to the end of the pier and why do you feed these seagulls? He said, I got shot down. I was a fighter pilot in World War I. I spent 24 days on the ocean. We were starving to death. He said, I just got through reading the book of Matthew. That was back when they gave the Bible to them. What a horrible thing. He said, I read the book of Matthew, chapter number 6 and verse number 31. And I'm going to read it for you because this is what he read. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And Eddie Rickenbacker bowed his head and put his hand on that Bible and said, Lord, I believe your word. We're starving and you know it. And there's nobody to help us. And we're going to put our trust in you. And right about that time, a seagull lit right on top of his head. He eased his hands up there and he took hold of that seagull. He grabbed it. He pulled it down. And the seagull, of course, had to sacrifice its life. They ate some of it, but they also used some of it to fish with. And they bent a key and made a hook out of it. And they took the meat from that seagull, and that fed them until they were picked up. Amen. And so for the rest of his life, he said to the seagulls, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Never forgot. As long, and he lived a long time after that. Eddie Rickenbacker was the American counterpart of von Richthofen, the Red Baron. The Red Baron was such a soldier and such a brave soldier. He's a pilot, of course. That when he died, he'd shot down so many of American planes. And so when he was finally shot down, and when he was shot down, they gave him a great military funeral. Who did? His enemies. His enemies did. Why? Because they respected the man. They respected his courage. They respected it. Now, Richthofen, the Red Baron, just a few days ago, maybe a couple of days ago, 79-year-old grandmother. 79-year-old grandmother in Ukraine said, give me a gun. Said, I'm going to shoot. I'm going to go to the front lines and I'm going to die for my country and for my... She said, I'd rather it be me than some younger person. So she was willing to give her life for somebody else. Would to God that we had that kind of spirit in this jaded church in America. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's still alive as far as I know. But that inspired me. 79 years old. I know how she feels. 79 years old. And she took that, probably AK-47, whatever it was. I don't know what they're using. And took it to the front lines to fire against the enemy. Another Ukrainian wrapped himself in explosives and went to a bridge and he self-detonated and blew himself up, but he also blew up the bridge to keep the Russians from coming in across the line into the Ukraine. Right now in Russia, the Russian people are demonstrating by the tens of thousands in the squares, just like the Ukrainians are and just like they are all over the world. By tens of thousands, they're demonstrating. The Russian people did not declare war on Ukraine. Get a hold of that. The Ukrainian people did not declare war on the Russian people. It is this madman that's in the house over there in the Kremlin. And if you don't know this, the last thing this madman said was, if I have to, I'll nuke you. He's already brought up the nuke card. Are you thankful for what you've had so far? He's a nut. He's a madman. I'm going to tell you something. I cannot believe in my soul that one man has the authority to plunge this world into a nuclear fireball Let me tell you something else, and I'll move on in my message. There will be no winners in a nuclear war. Only a few survive. There will be no winners in a nuclear war. You don't want that. You don't want that to happen. We've had it good. We're asleep. Aren't you comfortable? They're having their babies in underneath the ground there. What do they call that thing with the train? Subway. They're having their babies down there. These women are over there. Life goes on. They're hungry, cold, and now they're fighting. They could be here fighting. We may be getting ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the only one on this earth, or the only one, not on this earth, the only one who knows whether Putin will push that button is that one. That's the only one. So here's what Eddie Rickenbacker said. I thought, let the folks hear what this man said, because you'll begin to understand a little bit about life. Quote, Eddie Rickenbacker, "Every disappointment that came to me brought with it an enduring lesson that repaid me eventually tenfold." Are you wise? Listen to what this man said. 24 days on that raft, he learned more than some of these kids have learned 30 years in college. Amen. You got the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39. You know the story. He said, "Come lie with me." The Bible teaches us that Joseph was one fine-looking young man. No question about it. And she says, "Come lie with me." So she was full of lust. But what did Joseph say to her? He said, "I can't do that." He said, "My master's brought me into this house." And he said, I'm higher than anybody else in this house." He said, "I'm not going to do this." And she said, "Come lie with me." He said, "No, I will not do that. And I will not sin against God." I thought, my goodness. Think about it for a minute. "I will not fornicate with you, and I will not sin against God." Wait a minute. She's a pagan. Yes, she is. But he knew the truth. Yes, he did. So what happens here, preacher? It's a test of his character. It's a test of his character. Don't you know that when Jacob made that coat of many colors, he loved that boy? Why did he love that? Because that boy was different from all the rest of them. That's why. Head and shoulders above every last one of them. Joseph was something. And he was raised up second only to Pharaoh. What did he do when his brethren showed up? He could have had them sent to death. No, his heart was moved within him. He wept over his brethren. He cried. Why? Because of his character. He knew what love was. Do you know what love is? Love is a powerful thing, folks. Are you thankful? Well, preacher, I don't care what you got, your stuff. Are you thankful for that that matters? Have you got a little girl there, a little boy there? You got a little boy, a little girl? You got a wife, a husband? You got a family? You got health? Can you breathe? How many can breathe in here this morning? Raise your hand. Like Ed Blue said, he said, "I found out it's important to breathe." Were you breathing? Are you thankful for that? I am. I ate breakfast this morning. Thankful for it. Got a place to go sleep tonight. Thankful for it. Amen. Got a way to pull me around here, drive around. Thankful for it. Yes. Here I am up here. Lord, have mercy if you had any idea where I came from. God puts me up here preaching his word. Thank you. Thank you. 2,000 years before Christ, Job said, "If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great," now watch this, "and because mine hand had gotten much." Job said, "I hope that's not in my soul." And he was a rich man. He was saying, "I pray that I don't have that self-serving attitude to where I'm so great that I can accomplish." We can't accomplish anything. No. Nothing. Nothing. There's a doctor up there in Virginia. His name's Tom Renfro. He brought to the church here. I love this brother. I watch him all the time. Brother Renfro was dying with cancer. He had what's called mantle cell lymphoma. He was coming down to the last few hours, I guess, of his life. Days of his life. I don't know how to pinpoint in time, but here's what he said. He said, "I begin to thank God." He said, I thanked him for the medicine I was taking. He said, I thanked him for all the other treatments that I had, for the nursing, for everything. He said, I started thanking God. He said, then thanks broke into praise. He said, I started praising God, praising for all he was done. He said, well, what do you praise him for? Because God's God. You don't praise him because of the circumstances. You praise him because of who he is. God's God. I change not. And then he said, you know what? It led into worship. He said, I was worshiping him. I had tumors in my neck. You need to see it. You need to see what this man looked like. Many of you have met him. Many of you know who I'm talking about. Some of you have never heard of him, probably. Tumors all over his body. He said that when they took him to the hospital, the people in the hospital hadn't seen him for some time. And when his family took him in, he went in there for some kind of a treatment. He said when they saw him, it like scared him to death. See the change in him. Because he was a walking dead man. He was. He was. He was a walking dead man. Until God healed him. But God. But God. I watch him all the time. He's a blessing to me. Tom Renfro. He comes on Thursday, I think at 9 o'clock. Thursday night, 9 o'clock. And I'm going to close with this. The apostle said in 4:12 of Philippians, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The word he used for abased is typhonao. It's a Greek word, typhonao. What's that mean? It means to be brought low, to make low, to humble. Now you can humble yourself under the hand of God. You can do that on your own. Yeah. You can do that this morning. Yeah. Or God can bring you down to dust and ashes. Yeah.
He can.
He can bring you down to dust and ashes. Do you want to be ready for what's coming? Have a heart of thankfulness. There's a man down there in Georgia. His name's Harmon. He's 80-something years old. He does a website for us, PastorCharlesLawson.org. Have you seen that website? And he's good. He knows his stuff. He's got a son with cancer. He's dying with cancer. He's a good man, though. We sent him $500 the other day for all the work he'd been doing, for all the faithfulness and the need that he had. You know what he did? He sent us an email back that said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. From the depths of my heart, thank you. He was so thankful. What'd you expect from him, preacher? I knew what he'd do because I know his character. You don't impress God with your smart intellect. You don't impress him with your ability. You don't impress him with what you can accomplish. But if you want to see power in this church and in this country, start humbling yourself under the hand of God and you will. Amen. Now in Scripture, in the book of Job, it says, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his skin. You know who said that? The devil said that. But 99% of the time, it's true. It's true. They live for their belly. Liberalism, what do they call it? This climate change and all the rest of this stupid garbage. You let war start and you'll fill the vacuum as that ceases to exist. You will. Liberalism will die so fast. Why? Because the same thing that put them in power will take them out of power. Amen. They voted their belly, they put them in. Their belly will bring them down. Father, bless your word. Your holy name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody, heads are all bowed in here today. Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, won't you pray for me because I'm out there feeding the swine. Anybody? God bless you. I'm feeding the swine. I'm feeding the swine. God bless you back there. I say, preacher, pray for me. I'm grinding at the mill. I'm with Samson. I'm going round and around and around. I go here, I go there, I try this, I try that, and I get no satisfaction from any of it. Would you raise your hand? How many in here this morning are like the man with leprosy? Eaten up, and you can see it consuming your very life. Say, pray for me, preacher. Raise your hand. Father, Lord, you know I'm the messenger. I've got peace now. I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I got up and preached what you put on my heart. I firmly believe that. And now I'm no longer accountable. It's been given forth. I pray. In Jesus' name, if you folks are watching this thing live right now, if you heard what was said, you heard it with your heart, not your head, but you heard it with your heart, you can do something about it right now. Wherever you are, maybe alone, you can bow your head and you can pray with me. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have, for the goodness of God, for our opportunity to come and pray, blood-bought way that we have. Thank you. Now bless these dear folk. Move in their heart and move in their soul, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up this morning. What have we got, brother?